The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we did a Chayv Adam L'Haros HaSatmo, but I wanted to just say back here on Zion Hay, just a basic point, which for some reason I missed out on for like many years. I'll ask you and see if you guys also missed out on it. So, Kol Mishalom Amar Shalosh Devarim Elu B'Pesach. Sorry, the Leil Chamisha Asar Lo Yasadei Chavaso Elin Pesach Matu Umarar. Right, Pesach Al Shem She Pesach Hamakom Al Bate Avosin B'Mitzrayim. So, my question is, how would you translate that line? Pesach Al Shem. How would you translate She Pesach Hamakom Al Bate Avosin B'Mitzrayim? Okay, so we got one passed over. He entered our houses? Chas v'shalom. I think we did, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. My understanding of Pesach or Pesach is either opening
or... No, that's Patach.
Oh, that's not what right.
We're talking about the holiday. Or the Korban.
Right. Yeah, it's a Passover. That's all.
Okay, so that's the unfortunate thing is that the holiday got called Passover, and that's a bad translation. Okay, it's not bad, it's just inaccurate. Okay, so there's two translations, all right? And then one of them is stated in Rashi, okay?
I feel like we should really know it.
Yeah, if I could find it. I'm in the wrong parak. Yud Beis, Yud Aleph. I think that's the first time Pesach is mentioned. V'kacha taklo oso. This is how you should eat it. Masnechem chagurim, your loins girded. Na'alechem baraglechem, your sandals on your feet. Malkelchem biadchem, and your staff in your hands. V'alchotem oso b'chibazon. You should eat it in haste. Pesachu l'shan. Okay. So Rashi says Pesachu. Hakorban kari Pesach al shem hadilug. Okay.
That's not.
No, it is. I'll tell you. Okay, I'll tell you why. And again, this is another shir I remember from Rabbi Gover during my Gersi Yom Kusa phase. You know, that he gave a shir on this and stuck in my head. So diluk is jumping or skipping. Okay. Shekadosh Baruch Hu midalig bate bnei Yisrael shebein bate Mitzrayim. God skipped over the houses of the Bnei Israel that were between the Bati Mitzrayim. The Kofetz mi Mitzri lemitzrim lemitzrim. I think our gear says Mitzri lemitzri. Yeah, fine. He skipped from Mitzri to Mitzri of Israel inside Nimlat, and the Jews in between escaped. The atem asu kol avodos of derech dilug ukfita. You should do all of your avodos in a manner of skipping and jumping. Zecher le. Zecher l'shmo shekori Pesach, as a remembrance for its name, which is called Pesach. V'gambalaz Pashka l'shem Psia. Okay, let's see what this Pashka is. Sounds like a Russian nickname. Or Pushka, yeah. Springing. In order of Paskua, the term for the Passover is stepping over. Yeah. So what's the difference between Passover and skip over?
Well, Passover seems like Passover. Skipping is intentional.
Okay, yeah, right. So Passover could just mean like... I could pass, like, the planes with JFK pass over us. They're not skipping over. Skipping is like duck, duck, goose. Like, you were going to be targeted and you were skipped. And that's the whole idea of the Korban, is that because we did the Avodas of Pesach.
Okay. I don't think that's
okay. Whatever.
I don't think Passover can pass the meaning of, like, you went over and you can pass over.
Okay. You can be inaccurate. You can be less. No, but then. Yeah, it should be called skip over. Yeah. Yeah, Yosef?
Well, just saying, skip does have a certain jolly connotation.
Well, okay. So it also, in other places, it also means to limp. Because it really means, because how long will you straddle both sides of the fence? I think PCF literally means uneven. Let's see. Passover. Okay. Well, they're also wrong. No. Where is it though? Oh no, this is only talking about Pesach. That's why. If you look at, for example, poschim al, you know what I'm talking about. This is by Eliyahu Navi with
Har Karmel.
Har Karmel with Baal. Yeah. Priest of Baal. Let's see here. Malachim 1:18 and 21. Da, da, da. Let's see what it says there. Poschim means to pass or spring over, to limp, to fall and to be made limping. They went limping. like hobbling. Yeah. So it does imply an unevenness. Whereas I don't think you get that connotation with Passover. Yeah. Yosef? Oh, no. Okay. All right. But then what's the second interpretation is the Targum, which this is why I'm shocked that I've missed this for so many years. Anyone know how the Targum translates?
No.
Okay. So it says, Pesach Lashem. Oh, so here it just translates it in Hebrew. But if you look at when it actually describes God skipping over, oh, yeah, here we go. V'haya adam lechem la'os al habatim asher atem sham v'isiyas adam ufasachi alechem. I will see the blood and I will skip over you. V'achus alechon. I will have mercy on you. So Pesach means mercy or pity. Okay, and then similarly, it says it a second time in Vekra Moshe l'zikne Yisrael v'yomar aleim mishku k'chul lechem ton l'mishkosem v'shagur v'pat. No, he probably says Pischa there. Yeah, Pischa. Oh, then here we go. Va'avar Hashem lingov es Mitzrayim baras Adam ala mashkov ashtei mezuz ufasach Hashem ala Pesach. There you use Pesach. Okay, right. God will skip over the Pesach. V'yichus Hashem al Tara. God will have mercy on the door. Okay. So yeah. So just basic thing. Pesach means skipping over or means mercy. Okay. And I was reminded of this because I was going through for trying to figure out our place today. And I saw that in the Makbili, he says Pesach, he says Dileg o Chamal. Right. It means to skip over. It means to have mercy. And I was like, what mercy? And then I remembered that it means mercy. So I feel like it's one of those things where, like, if you don't know the basic meaning, like if you ask, you know, hopefully every Jew knows what Purim means because it says in the Megillah, it means the lottery, you know, but if you don't think about the fact that the holiday means lottery, like you're missing out on a big theme because that's what the holiday is called. Here, the holiday is called, or the Korban is called skip over, and it's also called mercy, you know? So I feel like that's something we should be aware of. Yeah.
I mean, kind of like what Chaim was saying, I feel like skip and Passover can be used interchangeably.
Okay, look, you guys can be imprecise. I let you be imprecise. It's fine.
That's
mercy is very different. Yeah. Yeah. Yosef?
Hold up this translation. Overlook.
Okay. Overlook is a good question because, okay, I would say overlook, first of all, is not a good translation because that has to do with perception, but I also would think that not only is it a bad translation, but it also I think gives the wrong idea because overlook is like what we want God to do with our averos, but that's not why he skipped over us. He skipped over us because we did avoda, you know, avoda Hashem, and we made ourselves worthy to be redeemed by connecting to the bris of the avos and rejecting avoda zara. What's the idea of mercy? So I think the idea of there's a great midrash, and I just don't know where it is. So let me see if I can find it. Halalu. Ovde Avodah Zarah. I think if I can't find it, I'll paraphrase it and I'll try to find the quote tomorrow. Uh-huh. This is not looking promising. Let's see. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Maybe this is it. Well, it's in Midrash Tehillim. That's not where I saw it, definitely. All right, maybe this is a version of it. Well, there's something where like the angels are talking about trying to convince God, why are you saving these people? And they say like about the Mitzrayim and the Jews, well, these guys are avodah zarah and these guys are avodah zarah, you know? So we're really deserving of being, here's a better source. This is also from Rabbi Gober's here from 2003. There's a Rashi. Yeah. Were you babies or were you non-existent?
I was three.
Oh, you're three. Okay. All right. Let's see.
Oh my God.
Let's see. Hold on. Masya.
2003.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. So, V'hayal chem l'mishmeres ad arba asar yom l'chodesh ezev shachato so kol adas yisrael ben arbaim. So, it should be for you as a safeguarding. So, this is talking about like guarding the actual animal until from the 10th until the 14th of the month. And they shall shecht it, the entire congregation of the assembly of Israel in the afternoon. So, Rashi says, So they need to inspect it. So that's how he's learning Mishmeres. Shenitan Bikur Mimum Arba Yamin Kodem Shchita. So they needed 4 days of investigating it for blemishes before the Shchita. Mivnei Ma Hikdim Lekichas L'Shchitaso Arba Yamin. Why did they have to take it 4 days before the Shchita? Ma Shalot Tziva came to Pesach Doros, which you don't have to do for Pesach for all generations. You could just get it that day. Hayo Rabbi Masi Ben Cheresh Omer. So Rabbi Masi Ben Cheresh says, Harihu Omer, it says in Yechezkel, Ebor Alaych Ve'ereich B'nei Itcha Eiz Dodim. So this is in that, there's a whole long mashal in Yechezkel where this guy finds this like bloody baby, like wallowing in its own blood. And then he takes it and like, it's very weird. He like raises her into like an adult, but he never cleans her off. And then like, and it's always like his relationship with her. And that's like a mashal for the Jews and God. So, and every aspect of the mashal is like interpreted for a stage of Klal Yisrael's development. So in this stage, it says, I passed over you and I saw you and it was a time of belovedness. So what does that mean? The time arrived to fulfill the oath that to Abraham that I, God, would redeem his children. But they did not have in their hand mitzvos to be involved in so that they could be redeemed. Shnomar, as it says, V'at Erem V'Eria, it says in that mashal, you were naked and bare, which means you were naked of mitzvos. V'nasalam Shtei Mitzvos, I gave you two mitzvos, Dam Pesach V'Dam Mila, the blood of Pesach and the blood of Mila, Shemalu Ba'osa Halayla, that they circumcised themselves that night. Shnomar, Misposesis B'Damayach, in the same mashal, they were wallowing their blood. It's funny how the psukim go in reverse order, 8, 7, 6. Bishnei damim, in both of their bloods. V'omer Gam At B'Dam B'Risech, Shalachti Asirat Mibor. It also says, I have, you are also in the blood of your covenant. I have sent you out of the pit, the bindings of the pit. V'shehayu shtufim ba'avodah zarah. They were steeped in avodah zarah. Amar lehem, so he told them, mishchu, withdraw. Yedechem mi'avodah zarah, withdraw your hands from avodah zarah. V'kuchu lechem son shal mitzvah, and take for yourselves a sheep of mitzvah. So the idea that Rabbi Gober wanted to bring out is, I mean, I think when you first like are a kid and you learn that God promised to take promise Avram to take his kids out, then you assume that means that he's going to take them out no matter what, right? And then you get the more sophisticated idea of how God's promises work, that you need to be on the level of Hashgacha to merit being taken out. And if you're not, then he's not going to take you out. But because he made a bris to Avraham, then the Jews were not on the level to be redeemed. So he gave them the two mitzvos that would assure that they were on the level to be taken out. And that is bris milah and Pesach. And then that made them worthy. But it's mercy, because without those mitzvos, they would just be no different than the Mitzrayim. And this is the thing, this was the cause of God having mercy on them, you know, that they at least made themselves, they differentiated themselves from the Avodah Zarah enough to be able to like, you know, reject it and then be connect to Avraham Avinu's value system.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. This ended up being a Rashi because, sure. But okay, we can at least read the halachos for tomorrow. So Rambam, we were up to... okay. In every generation, a person is obligated to, so the way we learned it is, see oneself to the point where it's visibly manifest that he himself went out now from the Shibud Mitzrayim. Shnemar, as it says, V'osanu hoti misham, it says that you took us out from there. I have to say what we said this morning before Mishlei, that Sean was talking about a continuation of our Q&A on Friday about the Lashon Hara discussion, and we're talking about Lashon Hara, and Ariel said, like, I feel so sorry for non-Jews, you know, that, like, they just don't have halacha to, like, you know, guide them to all these ideas of perfection. It was just one of those like moments of just natural, like, you know, and I mentioned what we talked about here in the, when we're doing the mitzvah saseh of Sipur, is that it has to culminate in a natural halal, you know, and this is part of it, that like, unless you see the events of God taking out your forefathers as being directly connected to you getting the Torah, then you're not gonna really have that halal. Like, so you have to like, you know, you have to picture what your life would be without Torah and mitzvos, and then recognize that because God took them out and gave them the Torah, then you have it now. That's like, that's what leads to the Hodah. So like that, this step of seeing yourself as though you were personally taken out of slavery is like a critical thing for getting that natural Hodah. Regarding this, it was commanded in the Torah, you should remember that you were a servant, klomar, or a slave, klomar, kilo atab asma ha'isa eved, v'yatasa l'chiris v'nivdesa, as if you yourself were a slave and you went out to freedom and you were redeemed. Okay, I got it. Okay, now, you want to see the best definition of chiris I've seen? Answer yes. Yeah. There's this... so there's this, we won't go on the wrong today. We'll end with this. Everyone needs to be aware of this, thing. Okay. So the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, which doesn't really exist, right? There's only five parakim of Pirkei Avos, but they added a sixth one that they just, it's from Brisos and Avos Rabbi Nasan. So it's not actually Mishnah, but because of the minhag to read Pirkei Avos from Pesach to Shavuos, then you have the week of Pesach and then you have five weeks, but you need one more. So like they added an extra thing to like, I don't know when this happened. Probably Gaonim or Rishonim. Okay. So they publish it there. So there's this, this Brisa that says, V'haluchos ma'aseh elokim hema, v'hamichtav michtav elokim hu charus al haluchos. Okay. So plain shot is the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was a writing of God, charus al haluchos, inscribed or chiseled into the luchos. Al tikri charus el acherus. You should not read in engraved el acherus, but freedom. She'en lecha ben chorin el misha osib gotama Torah. There's no such thing as a free person except one who's involved in Torah. So the question is, what's the idea there? That there's no freedom except for someone who's involved in Torah. What would you say just offhand? Yeah, Yosef?
Free from yourself, I think. Older meanings of the word liberty.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's actually a good connection. Yeah.
I would say free in the sense of like being able to live in line with one's nature. Like that's what free is, meaning like, so like something that is imprisoned or trapped is something that's not allowed to access its own.
Okay, I think you are both right, because I think that is the idea of the freedom. So best one to say it is the Abravanel. So on Pirkei Avos, he says, so this is my favorite thing. He says like this. So this is like what Aristotle explained. I assume that's the philosoph. Subjugating yourself to religion is not subjugation, but it is chairs. I don't think Aristotle was talking about Judaism, but I think he means a system. Okay, but because the religion and its practice, mivim ha'adam el hashlemus ha'amidosi, it brings you to ethical or a freedom of midos, perfection of midos. V'lihios sichlo ben chorin v'lo eved ta'avosav. Makes your intellect free and not a slave to your desires. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea of, that you're saying, of the true self is no longer shackled. And that's also the idea of the classical idea of liberty, like Yosef was saying, which is that you are free to be an independent thinker and chooser, you know, and not a slave to society or its values or whatever. So earlier it calls someone who does not involve himself in Torah as like a reject, like rejected. He says, don't think that the guy's rejected and free. Okay. Don't think that this guy is free because he can follow his taivas. That's not the case. There's no free person except for one who's involved in Torah. Torah guides you to perfection. And Torah will make you free and not a slave to your desires. Okay, I think he just goes and explains the drasha. But I think that's like the clearest expression in Rishonim I've seen about like how Torah leads to freedom. He's in the Rishon Club. Yeah, I put him in the Rishon Club. He's, he doesn't write like a Rishon, but he thinks like a Rishon. Yeah. Anyway, all right, so that's that. All right, so I guess tomorrow we can get Blinetter to the Heseva and Arbokosos. Sure. Yep. Okay. Very good. All right, have a good day.
Thank you.
See you, Abby.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.